Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Man, I really need you guys right now. It's a time, because this church thing, I'll tell you, we have an adversary. Forget the marketing and the overhead and all that. I'll tell you what, that's the easy part. It really is. But what we can't do, the Bible says not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. And we can't be ignorant of it. I'll tell you, if I were the devil, I don't know that I'd appreciate a group of people from Tulsa coming into Sepulpa to start a church. I don't know. I think I'd do everything I could to mess with them. And how he does it, let me just tell you, it's not with sickness, it's not with not with financial burdens, it's none of that stuff. It's mentally, it's how he messes with us. Okay, we can't be ignorant of his devices. That the weapons of our warfare, listen, aren't carnal or worldly. Okay, so the devil doesn't mess with us like a worldly adversary would mess with us. He messes with us, listen, knowing that we're spirit beings. And if he can get us to remain soulish or to remain to counting on our emotions and counting on the people that how people treat us, how we react or respond to how people treat us, if he can get us focusing on that, man, he'll keep our eye off the prize. And see, and what this is what life is it's there's a target in life. And listen, it's not target practice, it's target life. And there's a target in life that we have to live. And in order to hit that target, man, we've got to aim at it. We've got to keep our eye on it. We've got to take a bead on that target. We've got to know our line of sight. We've got to and not listen, be deceived. And that's what the enemy will try to do. He'll try to deceive us, try to keep us from how God would have us live our lives. And it's interesting because once we know Jesus, once we get to know Jesus, and I'm just talking about, man, we kind of run into him, we brushed up against him, and we get to know him, and we're thinking, okay, that didn't kill me. This isn't going to be bad. I mean, I haven't lost all my friends. I didn't lose my job over it. It didn't cost me all of my fun. I've gotten to know Jesus, but then we come to that place where, oh my gosh, I've got to give my life to him. I've got to give the lordship of my life to him. And you know, we take a deep breath and make Jesus the Lord of our lives, and we're born again. And being born again is that now the lineage attachment that we had with our past is gone. It's eliminated. I mean, eliminated. It's gone. It's seeing. But God takes our sin, because that's what the lineage of our past is before we know Jesus. And he takes the lineage of our past and he throws it as far as the east is from the west, which is interesting, because our sin is still out there. It's just gone. it's not as far as the north is from the south, because if you think about it, the north and the south meet in the poles. So if God threw it as far as the north is from the south, all of our sin would have been at a pole somewhere. But see, it's not. It's thrown as far as the east is from the west. And those never meet. The east and the west never meets. And that sin can't come back and haunt us anymore or mess with us anymore unless, listen, we fall prey to the deception of the enemy. See, and in this, I'm just telling you that in this place, yeah, sure, we're in a capital campaign. And we're starting a church, and we're going to renovate a bunch of buildings here, and we're going to make our kids' church the most amazing thing that anybody's ever seen. But it's not even that; it's life. We need each other in life. I had lunch yesterday with Jason, and this week with Jason. It's like, man, Jason left. I thought Jason is amazing. Sandy says that all the time. Jason and Beth are amazing. I need them in my life. I don't know where they came from. They were kids when they came here. And then they got married. And then they had kids. And now he's a part of a world-changing ministry. And it's like, but see, there's that need in us now. And see, and what we try to, I'm glad you came back, man. You answered the altar call Sunday, didn't you? Here, stand up. I want to welcome you, all right? God bless you. God bless you. Thanks for being here. But we need each other. We really do. We need and it's not just camaraderie, it's not just fellowship. Listen, we need the connection. The Bible says we're all members of the body of Christ. And that's awesome. And people will say, man, we're all members of the body of Christ. I don't need a church. I don't need other people. And that's where people are wrong. We're members of the body, but listen. But we receive. The Bible says that God ministers to us by the connection that we make through the joints of the body. That's what supplies. The Bible says where every joint supplies. See, so I want you to understand that. I want to make it as dramatically powerful, as sincere as I can, that I need you. And you might think, you don't even know me. Yeah, but that's not, the Bible says that we endeavor to know no man by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Man, there's an atmosphere that comes into a place where there are multiple believers, where there's multiple, listen, faith-believing people, people trusting God, people trusting God's promise. See, there's an atmosphere that's created. See, it's hard because what's going to be hard for the devil tonight is while you're in this room for the next 20 minutes, it's almost going to be impossible for you to sin. It's almost going to be impossible for you to fall short of the glory of God. That in order for that to happen, someone has got to not preach God's word tonight. If his word is being preached, guess what? It's at work because his word is alive. And what else is it? It's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So his word is going to become active in your life. And see, and you didn't think, well, I didn't have anything to do with it. Yeah, but his word, listen, is what transforms us. Remember Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul wrote and he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. I want to tell you a little story tonight about a guy who went back and was conformed to the world after walking with Jesus for 3 years. I want to talk about Peter tonight a little bit. I think it's real easy for me, you know, because I think in most men in the room, we could probably relate to Peter pretty well, better than we could relate to, you know, John the Beloved. You know, I don't picture myself sitting beside Jesus with my head on his chest ever. I've never pictured it like that. I have pictured myself with Jesus turning to me saying, get behind me, Satan. I'm like, okay, gotcha. This is when I shut up, okay? The first law of holes is you stop digging. That's the story of my life, okay? So understand that and realize this. People that tell you that you can't change or people won't change are wrong, and that's foolish. We can't change ourselves. But guess what? This is going to happen. Turn your Bibles to the book of John. The book of John. Are you glad you're here tonight? Are you glad you love the word tonight? How many of you guys love the word? How many of you guys really, truly, you love the word? Well, let's love the word tonight. Let's hate the devil. How many of you guys hate the devil? Okay, the book of John. I think if I keep saying it, that they'll somehow, those people that do them. There you go. And let's go to the 21st chapter. I think it's the last chapter, is it? The last chapter of the book of John. Let's go to the very first verse. After these things, now remember, hold on. Before we do it, let me kind of unwrap this a little bit. Unpack this. That here Peter was fishing with his dad and his brothers, right? Remember? And he's fishing with those guys. And Jesus walks up, and they look up at him, and they're cleaning their nets. And Jesus comes up to him, and he says, hey, why don't you follow me? I'll make you fishers of men. And they said, okay. Or Peter said, Simon said, okay. It was his name at that time. And he said, okay. And his brothers came with him. He said, he's like, they're a crew. So they came, and they're walking with Jesus. They went through things. They had to deal with things. Peter was right in the middle of most everything that Jesus did. And then Peter's on the water in a boat, and a storm comes up. Okay? And this storm was typhoon. It was an amazing storm because all these guys were fishermen and they were scared for their lives. And the next thing you know, they see Jesus on the horizon walking. And it's like, holy, are you kidding me? There's a ghost out there. And Jesus came a little closer and the next thing you know that they said, who is it? He said, I'm Jesus. And they said, well, okay, if it is you, Jesus, Peter, for some reason, said, beckon me to tell me to come. And Jesus said, come on. And here Peter was, and Peter's like, okay, you're calling me out. So he stepped out of the boat onto the water. He took a step. He took another step. And then the wind registered on him and the storm. And he looked around, took his eyes off of Jesus, looked around, and began to sink. And he cried out, Jesus saved him. Jesus put him back in the boat. Okay, this same Peter, here he was at the Last Supper. Jesus said, one of you guys is going to betray me. Peter is crying. It's like Peter at a bunch of times didn't have a filter. Anybody relate to that? He didn't have a filter. And he turned, Jesus said, one of you guys is going to betray me. Peter turns to Jesus and says, please tell me it's not going to be me. Please. Anybody relate to that? And Peter said, no, it's not going to be you, but you will deny me three times in the marketplace before the rooster crows. He's like, what? No, it's the one who dips, and Judas is down there dipping his bread in the wine, and he looks up. He's like, what? How'd you catch me? You know, he already had the deceit in his heart. That's all Jesus knew was his heart. Remember, God looks on the inside. Man looks on the outside. God looks on the inside. You know, some of you guys are thinking, man, I don't know if I could go to church. I don't feel like I'm dressed appropriately. I don't have my act together. God just looks at your heart. He's not looking at all that other stuff. Man looks at that stuff. Man will judge you, the fire out of you. God never will like that. And see, he just sees you as sheep, lost or found. That's how it is. We're his children. Some of us just lost. And so here Peter is. The third time, this little girl came and said, whoa, I saw you with Jesus. And he turned his back on Jesus like that, probably screaming, saying, there's no way. That wasn't me. That was not me, you crummy little kid. Why don't you go find something to do? It's not even dawn. And then the rooster crows, and he realizes what he's done. And so here he is at Jesus, mankind's darkest moment, and here Peter is, and he denies Jesus. And then, so now we fast forward to John 21, and the first verse says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Canaan, in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Okay, so it's a crew of guys that just went back to fishing. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we'll go with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night, the whole night, what does the Bible say here? They caught nothing. They went back to what was familiar to them before they were walking with Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, I'll make you a fisher of men. Man, they became disciples, apostles of the Lamb, these guys. Peter walked on the water. Jesus changed his name to Peter, to this chip off the big rock, and they caught nothing. And what's interesting is you go back to Romans 12, 1 and 2 that I recited at the beginning of the message, that don't be conformed to this world. Now, what were Peter and those other disciples doing when Peter said, I'm going fishing, and they all said, I'm going with you? especially when a leader conforms himself to the world. Man, look what it does. You know, a lot of times we think, well, I'm just making up my own mind. I'm just doing what I want to do. I'm not hurting anybody else. Well, here Peter was causing these other men to stray because he had some leadership capacity in their lives. He had a little bit of leadership equity with them. But when the morning had now come, and here they'd conformed themselves, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered and said, "No." Like, who's that guy bugging us? They're frustrated, verse 6. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able. Remember, there's another version of this, another gospel that Peter said, "Look, we fished all night, but at your word." So they cast it out, and they were not able to draw it in because there was a multitude of fish. Verse 7, therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who wrote this gospel, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord. It was so awkward for them. None of them wanted to say, "Who are you?" knowing that it was him. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah." It's interesting that the name Simon there, I've circled that in my Bible, and I just wrote, I put a star there, and I wrote interesting. Remember, Jesus had referred to him as Peter, and now he was referring back to him as Simon. You went back, you conformed yourself back to the world, back to where you were. You're just a fisherman now. And he said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend to my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved. It's frustrating. Man, he was already living. He'd stepped out. Man, the grace that was upon his life when he was walking with Jesus was so amazing. And now he's trying to live his life out from under that grace. Jesus said, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. For most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. And when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you don't wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him the same thing he said to him the first time he met him, "Follow me." See, and what's interesting, and it's so cool when God showed me this just in my life. It's so amazing that he went back to the initial command of "follow me," but it started out, he was Simon. But then Jesus changed his name when he said, "Who do you say that I am? I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the Christ. I believe you have the words of eternal life." Jesus said, "You answer correctly," in the book of Romans. And he said, and upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. And so he went back to fishing again. The frustration of not catching anything. Jesus, he denied Jesus three times. Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" three times. Each time nullifying one of the denials. Each time just erasing it, saying, "Okay, Peter, we're good now. Follow me." But understand this and listen. There was a transformation that happened. The first time Jesus said, "Follow me," He said, I'll make you a fisher of men. Remember? The second time he said, follow me, what did he say? Feed my sheep. Tend to my lambs. Feed my lambs. See, because what he was entering into was the church age of the body of Christ. He was entering into a place where it's like, listen, there are going to be gatherings of people now that you're going to be responsible for. See, that's the transformation that happens in our life, that we start off thinking, you know what? Man, I'm going to follow Jesus, and we become fishers of men. So we've got these touch points that we tell people about him. You know, we communicate him. And then you know what? As we grow with him, as he develops us, as we become transformed by the renewing of our mind, guess what happens? We start tending and feeding and feeding. And see, and people start getting stronger and people start getting better. And addictions break in people's lives. And marriages come back together. See, that's what this tending is. It's not now. We're not just coming in as vigilante preachers anymore, trying to become fishers of men. No, you know what we are? Man, we're coming in and saying, hey, hang on, wait, you belong. Man, the people you tend, the people you feed, are people you're connected to. See, that's what's interesting. The interesting thing here is right under my nose, I've read John 21 hundreds of times. And right under my nose, right there was the transformational power that God brings through his word. And right under my nose, there was an example of it right there with Simon Peter. And you know what? No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how many times you've denied Jesus, no matter how many times you've gone back to how you used to live, I'm telling you, he's either gonna direct you into church where you're sitting here listening to it, or you're gonna run into somebody, you're gonna listen to something on the radio, you're gonna hear a commercial, and you know what? It's gonna affect your life and revive. See, what it's like, what Jesus did, it was like bringing those paddles in and charging him. And now he's charged, and now his heart's beating again, and he's breathing on his own again, and he's come back to life. Man, and you look at the impact that Peter made from that point. Man, if you can, find some time and read 1 and 2 Peter. And think about, man, that wasn't the Peter that Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, or no, you're not the one that's going to turn me in. You're going to be the one that denies me three times in the marketplace. Man, the man who wrote 1 and 2 Peter was, I'm telling you, had not just walked with Jesus, but allowed him to come in and transform his life. And to the point where, man, the next time, man, lives are changed. Churches show up. See, people gather together and become churches. I'll tell you, the church plant in Sapulpa, man, I'm going to God and saying, God, how is this going to hit? What is this going to look like? What's this going to be like? See, we've already lived through it a few different times. God, help us find the need in people's lives to meet that need so that they can meet you and the real need in their life will be met. And I ran into the landlord of the building in Sapulpa. He was pouring some cement mix, that self-leveling, covering up some bad spots in the concrete because we pulled all the carpet. And I said, oh my gosh, Denton, how you doing? He stood up, he came to me and he stood a foot from me and he said, Pastor, this place has changed my life. And tears started rolling down his face. And I'm thinking, he's there every day, mopping or painting. He was hanging HVAC duct on Saturday. But he looked, he said, this place has changed my life. We haven't had a church service in there yet. So now I go back to the very first thing that I said tonight. I need you. What he needed is what he got when he met people whose lives were transformed. And now there's a connection in his life like he has never had. He told me he's been to church for 50 years and he's never seen a salvation. Now he says every time he comes to one of these services, he sees multiple. See, the connection is the key. You get disconnected, you go back to fishing, and it'll be frustrating. And it's easy. All Jesus says is, do you love me more than these? You love me more than what you're familiar with? The people who are in your life? Can you do it? Man, I was just preparing my heart for this message tonight, and I was challenged. I was stirred with it. Can I do it? I'm telling you, I'm determined I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep my eye on the prize. This is not target practice, it's target life. We're going to hit the target. I promise you, but we need each other to do it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.